Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to The Naturalist Capitalist. This is your host, Reed Coverdale. For episode 104, Bert, who goes by Neocon Remover on Twitter, joins me to talk about conservatives for the most part and what we think of them. We both have a similar past coming from the neoconservative right, and we marvel in the fact that conservatives can say that they hate the government and that they hate academia, yet they love the police and they send their kids to public schools. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. It's pretty humorous. We have a lot in common since we come from the same background. And without any further ado, here is episode 104 with Bert, the Neocon Remover.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for watching The Naturalist Capitalist. As always, I'm your host, Reed Coverdale, coming to you from, I forget what town I'm in, but it's just east of Reno, Nevada. And I've got good service, so hopefully the stream lasts all the way through. But on the other end, we have Bert, the Neocon Remover from Twitter. I'm sure most of you guys know who he is. How's it going today, Bert?
And how are you?
Doing well. So I know you've got to remain somewhat anonymous with your identity, but what can you tell us about yourself? Can you tell us at all what it is you do, or how you got involved with the Liberty Movement, and what, I don't know, what interests you about it?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely like a long journey, I feel like. And I feel like it's probably a very similar journey for a lot of people. But basically, I kind of used to be a neocon in a sense. But I didn't really, not so much in like foreign policy stuff, I wasn't super interested in. So it's not like I was like a hardcore war hawk at all. But, you know, I was kind of like in that camp of like, oh yeah, Ben Shapiro's got it like figured out, you know, and right. A lot of those dudes who, I mean, I would call neocons now for sure. I mean, like he doesn't even make war his like big issue, but he's like terrible on them. Right. He makes, you know, owning 13-year-olds at college campuses a big issue. But anyway, so I was just like kind of in that, you know, really like basic bitch. You know, thing that's, you know, it's really popular. Everyone kind of feel like fell into, not everyone, but a lot of people fell into that around that period of time, like 2015, I guess. Right. And then I started checking out more stuff kind of down that rabbit hole. And I think like one of the earliest videos I saw was actually a video of Tom Woods that was clipped up. It was Tom Woods and Dave Smith debunking some shit that Shapiro was saying. And yeah. I think I saw it because it came up as a recommended thing by searching and watching Ben Shapiro Owns Libtards compilation. And I was like, oh yeah, like they totally got this dude's number. Like they called this dude out and it's pretty rad. And I think I was like the first time I'd ever heard of Tom Woods or Dave Smith. I think I just went from there and I was like, oh, this makes like way more sense, because it still kept all the economic stuff and a lot of the pro-life stuff that I was like identifying with in that kind of like more right-wing libertarian realm. But then he was also like, yeah, but here's what he's like terrible on that he misses. It's the same stuff a lot of conservatives are bad on. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love it. So I think, and then it just can, you know, you spiral down there and find Rothbard and all this other stuff.
Yeah. So that it was around like 2015, 2016, you started really delving into that. So you're relatively new into all this stuff then.
Yeah, yeah. Before then, I didn't care about politics. I didn't. I wasn't like a child of the Ron Paul era. I missed that whole thing. I just didn't even like. It wasn't even on my radar. But I guess just the 2016 election and the year before the run up, politics, you know, gets pushed to the forefront of everything, and you can't help but like pay attention to stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you always delved into the philosophy of whatever your beliefs were. I've talked to you in private messaging, and we were talking about some of the philosophers we've listened to in the past and how you've read like all their books. So the interest in flushing out your beliefs isn't anything new, right? That's something you've done for a while. Is that accurate? Or
yeah, yeah. It just depends on the stuff I was interested in. So like, I think some of the stuff we talked about was like, I was really into Sam Harris, like back like 2009 through whatever, whenever he started getting, or whenever I guess I started, he didn't really change to be honest with you, but I just started becoming more aware of like the political stuff. And I didn't really even care about his politic writing. I just was like, you know, a cringe lord, like new atheist, like fedora tipping type, and was into like that whole, oh yeah, I forgot you're an atheist. Sorry.
No, I agree. We would probably agree on most of the like, but, our but, assessment of them.
But even then, I like to feel like your, to your point though, that you were making, I like to feel like I was like, that's the thing I was into. So I couldn't care less about, like, I didn't care about taxes or any social issue. This is like pre-atheism plus stuff, where it was like really, like right now it's like all about other, there's like so many other components and cultural things, but I was really just like worrying about like the, you know, the Dawkins, like Hitchens, like kind of like philosophical writing and stuff. And that's like, I was interested in that stuff, and I was kind of like concerned about being like consistent or fleshing out in that thought. But I didn't really care about politics, and it wasn't until I started caring about politics that I noticed, like, oh yeah, Sam Harris, his politics are like horrible.
Right.
And not like all his like, I think we talked about this. Like, I mean, he's kind of good on like a lot of the woke outrage mob, I guess, because he's been gotten for saying controversial things that go against like a lot of like SJW orthodoxy. So he's like, yeah, kind of good on like those issues. But I mean, like, his policy prescriptions are typically bad, and they kind of have always been, but like, I didn't start paying attention to like electoral politics or that side of stuff until like, yeah, around the like 2016 election, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. I've found that you really have to split hairs with a lot of these people, because I feel like people like to peg their values to a person. And I don't think that's ever a good idea. Like, even if it's someone like Tom Woods or Dave Smith, because eventually there's going to be a time where you see them show inconsistency somewhere or say something that you deeply disagree with. And if you're trying to peg all your beliefs to that person, that is never going to work out for you in the end. So it's been a real exercise in thought, you know, to listen to someone like Sam Harris that I agree with on a lot of religious stuff. But then when it gets into politics, I really disagree with him on a lot of things. And then, you know, even people like Bill Maher, like sometimes he says stuff that's sort of on point about the SJWs and the Democratic Party. But then, I mean, he's terrible on a bunch of other stuff. And the same with the like Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's sometimes right on something. And you know, when he is, you got to give it to him. But most of the time he sucks. And then people that I agree with most of the time, you know, like in the liberty movement, there might be a couple times where I'm like, I really don't like that take. But it just seems like a problem that so many people have with identifying with a person instead of figuring out their own philosophy and then operating out of that. Have you noticed that at all? Or?
Yeah, for sure. But I also don't know that there's any sign of stopping of that. I think that's just like a natural human tendency to kind of take a lot of ideas and like humanize them in someone, like as like maybe a role model to follow or something. So I completely understand, or agree rather, that you have to separate like the like, or rather not deify one individual, like that they can never be wrong or something. You have to admit when someone got something wrong, and you can just be like, well, I still like them, and you know, I'll like 95% of this, but you take that away. But I do think it's a natural thing to just kind of always gravitate towards like putting, looking up to certain figures, for sure. I think we'll always kind of do that.
Yeah. Since it came up in conversation, I do want to talk about it a little bit. My least favorite type of people are actually liberal atheists, because they're, in my mind, they're sort of walking contradictions. You know, they hate so much about the church that they love about the government. And in the few videos that I've done about religion, I've really actually tried to convey that to people, that it's more, I mean, my biggest message in my videos has been like, you can't call yourself an atheist if you basically just worship the state. You've just replaced God with something else. And a lot of these people on Twitter, these like hardcore liberal progressive atheists, I'll troll them, and I'll even pretend to be a Christian sometimes, just because I could see their hair catch on fire. Cause they're so funny, because they act like they're operating out of reason, but they're some of the most triggerable people on the internet. I didn't know if you've noticed that, having been in that pool before and now being out of it. And I don't know if you have any reactions to that.
It's my least favorite group of people as well. For sure. Yeah. Hate neolib atheist, fucking cosmopolitan cringe lord, fucking DNC, like shills. Like, I just hate that group. It's, well, like they're incredibly like kind of like the most annoying people in the world rather. But, not to switch topics, but the contradiction that bothers me the most is the conservative and cops contradiction too. not to switch talking about that hardcore, because we can go back to finishing on that. But yeah, like, as much as that bothers me, it just bothers me so much to see the person with like, you know, something that says like freedom, liberty, and then they're just like back the blue, and you're like, bro, like what? It always is like the number one most hypocritical thing. But it complete. But back to your point though, yeah, they just replace the God shaped hole in their life with the state. I mean, you see it time after time after time, and I think that, you know, it's probably just like, once again, a natural tendency to have some sort of belief in like a hierarchy or a structure, some kind of, you know, ideological like underpinning to what, you know, what separates it from like chaos and just being open murder in the streets and stuff. And you want to have some sort of justification. So you kind of just had, they have this like secular view that just ended up being like the state is where they always end up going to. So it's, you just see it time and time again, and it's really inconsistent. So I would have much less problem with the like no gods, no masters, like atheist anarchist crowd. Cause at least like you could say, like, at least they say that, but you know, these like liberal atheists are like, no God, but trust me, like Nancy Pelosi is your ruler. It's like, so much worse, you know, because at least you can say religion's like voluntary. I mean, that's the way I look at it is, I'm not trying to force like my beliefs on anyone else. Like, that's like a personal like choice to do that and all that. But with the state, they'll be like, it's so wrong, like, you know, God is not great and Christianity is so fucked up what it does to people, but I think we should have this like mega state that enforces what I think on you. And it's like brother, you understand that's like worse, right?
yeah I mean, it I think it pisses me off because, you know, they're taking part of my label. It's kind of like what you're talking about with the conservatives being so pro back the blue, because they're, well, I think what makes us angry about that is they're taking the freedom part of our ideology and then trying to pair it up with back the blue. And I mean, otherwise, I don't think we'd really give a shit, because when people who have nothing in common with us are retarded, it's almost good. It's like, yeah, see, our opposition is so dumb, you don't want to have anything to do with them. It's when they try stealing some of our ideology and putting it into theirs that it really becomes a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's like the whole thing. And this is not a new point. This has been said a billion times, but it's like, whenever they're not, whether the GOP or conservatives largely, whenever they're not in office, they're like basically libertarians, like are in the way they communicate. Like, no, they're always against like this big spending program and all this stuff. I mean, this has like been said a billion times, but it's true. And then they'll say like freedom, liberty, and then they're in there. And then in most cases, it's just more of the same exact things. Same exact policy, same exact people benefit, same exact people get stiffed. It's like not really any different, but they'll at least put like it's actually a worse thing. They'll put a libertarian label on it, and not the word, but they'll say freedom, liberty. We're the party of small government, all this. And it's like,
right.
No, stop. Like, it's worse because you're now like muddying the waters. That's all. That's why I hate it more than I hate the left, because I kind of just disregard the left as kind of just like, I don't know. I consider myself right wing. That's the first thing. I don't know if you consider yourself neither right nor left. I consider myself right wing. So I don't really focus on the left so much. I mean, I'll make jokes here and there, but I really hate the conservatives LARPing as freedom lovers and then just being complete bootlickers, because they'll muddy the shit that I believe. So if you do say you believe in like capitalism, they'll be like, oh yeah, well, you know who else believes in capitalism? Charlie Kirk. And he, you know, supports all this horrible shit. And you're like, yeah, but like, I don't believe the same thing as he does. But because he said it, he's like poisoning the thing, which is also why I don't really, you know, I don't like use the term capitalism frequently, especially because it has like, I mean, people use it like a million different ways to mean 100 different things. But overall, and this is like a rant, but I just hate the right, like poisoning or just diluting like, or stealing libertarian like monikers or words and stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I fall in the bottom right corner of the political spectrum. So I guess I am by definition a right winger. I don't think that left or right really matter without a state so much. I mean, I think it's the control that we have over each other, and whoever wins gets to impose their will on the other side. If if it's all voluntary, I don't really care if you're left or right wing. Like, I think they can kind of coexist in a sense as long as everything's decentralized. But I come from the right, undoubtedly. You know, I was raised as a Republican, and I was a registered Republican until 2018. I finally left. And I also, you know, I think part of it is I was a big Rand Paul supporter, and just to see him kind of cuck for the Republican establishment after supporting him and thinking he was really something special, that I think that kind of hurts too. That adds to the anger there a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to see it. Right. And that's why I hate the cucking. That's what it is. Right. That's like when I get most mad, or when I'm, if you ever see me bashing, it's the Scott Horton rule. When I'm bashing conservatives on Twitter, you can find many tweets. I'm always attacking them from the right, that you're basically cucking to the left. And a great example is, I saw a clip today of Ted Cruz. It's just a 14-second clip, basically saying, like, it's not – it's almost like verbatim. You can look it up. He's, like, saying, like, it's not fair that the Democrats right now are trying to pack the courts. We were in there for 4 years, and we never packed the courts. We didn't do this. We played fair. And it's like, yeah – this is why you're losing, because they'll never play fair politics. There's no such thing as fair in politics. The whole thing is, it's about control. It's about, the whole thing is corrupt. There's like not a fair option. It's entirely an illegitimate system. But they'll be like, well, we did it fair and right, and it's just so mean that they're doing this. It's like, dude, stop. Like, the solution isn't like they should be playing fair. It's like, you need to play ruthless. And if you care about what you're defending, like, that's the Jeff Dice thing, right? Like, the left's being serious and the right's not. When they say stuff, like, the left is serious. Like, they really want to pack the courts. They're going to do it. The right will be like, well, I'm against packing the courts. And then they won't do anything to stop it, except for say that's really mean that they're doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. But at the same time, if you listen to either side, they both say that about the other side. They both, like, Bill Maher always talked about that, how the Republicans actually show up to vote and they actually do stuff, and how the left is just is spineless. And I don't know. I mean, I think there's some truth to both sides of that. And I think the thing that is true about the left is that the left isn't really left, you know, just what, like the right isn't really right.
Yeah, yeah, that's the point I was about to make, was actually to correct myself, but because I use the way I use the word. But if you asked any lefty, like real lefty, about the past victories on the stuff that the Democratic Party has seen, they would not be thrilled on like any of them. Like, right. They haven't got any of the stuff they want. So I'm saying left, and the more, I guess, I mean, well, that's the whole thing, is both parties. It's always like the neoliberal establishment wins. It's not truly right wing. Yeah. And it's not truly like left wing, like leftist ideas, like real leftism. And it's absolutely not like conservatism in any way. It's just the same like corporate, like neoliberal bullshit from both sides that is winning. But the right looks at it as like, and I guess I'm a victim. I do that too. I just did it. But the right looks at it as, look at the left is winning. Look at all this progressivism and stuff. But you actually talk to progressives, they think we live in like a super right wing country right now. But, you know, I look at it and I think it's like, this is clearly like a progressive shit. But it's really, I mean, if I'm being honest, it's really just corporations winning.
yeah totally. It's funny, if we could just, you know, I mean, even if we could just get the Republicans to actually be conservatives and the liberals to actually be liberals, so if we had a bunch of Mike Lees and Tulsi Gabbards in there, like, we'd be so much better off than we are now. And they still wouldn't be libertarian, you know, they'd still be like a long stretch away from being libertarians, but at least they'd be what they say they are. I mean, it's just so funny that we're so far from even that, like even just getting them to be who they actually say they are.
Yeah, 100%. And they're so much closer, like the ones that are bad are so much closer to each other than they'll have you believe. I mean, that's like the most like 14-year-old this is deep thing ever. It's like both parties are the same. And they're, I don't think they're both parties are the same, but so many people in them, I mean, like they almost end up just kind of being like a degree different from each other. And not like a Tulsi Gabbard and Mike Lee comparatively, but just, you know, two random fucking dipshit senators or something from each party, or probably like, they're like, all these people are so radically different and they both believe in like, you know, 75% of the same shit, but then they'll be really passionate against the 25% they don't agree on. And that's usually shit that no one gives a hell about, like, you know, 39% tax rate versus like a 36 or something stupid like that.
Yeah. And then the things that they do divide everybody on, you know, like guns or abortion, they don't actually really do anything about, you know, typically. Right. I mean, the Democrats have held everything and they didn't do much about guns, and the Republicans have held everything. They didn't do anything about abortion. I actually wanted to get your opinion on that. I know you watched my live stream with Pete Quinones, Ryan Dawson, and Eric Jackman, and we were talking about guns during part of it. And I'm still skeptical that Biden is actually going to go hardcore after guns, just because it doesn't seem like a necessary step. First of all, like, why take the guns? What threat are the guns to you? You've subverted this entire country. You locked them down for a year. You gave billions of dollars to corporations and foreign countries and everything while still taxing everyone. And people with half a billion guns didn't do anything. So if you're smart, you'll realize there's no threat there. If you're dumb, you'll stir up a hornet's nest. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Do you think he's actually going to do anything, or is this all just theater?
I really don't think he's going to do anything, or he will do things, but I don't think confiscation's on the table. I think he'll do a bunch of like petty bullshit things that, I mean, there's stuff I certainly don't support, of course, it's some kind of gun control, but I think it'll be nominal stuff just so he can give, like, you know, his voting base something to celebrate. Like, look, we, you know, did this thing, and it doesn't.
Right.
I don't have an example of what it would be, but just some stupid like nominal thing that
universal.
It'll be like, well, it's a waiting period if X, and it'll be just like an extra whatever, and just stupid shit like that actually doesn't matter. But this way, he can just go look, and then the conservatives will say Biden didn't do anything the last 4. Like I said, that's a bad thing. He didn't do anything, and then the left will go, what? Yes, he did. He passed this gun control law, and you know all the stuff, and then they'll just argue, and that's it. Just so they can say like, yeah, he did this. You know,
totally
stupid shit. But I really don't think, just to get to your point, I really don't think he would. I think he's not that stupid to say he would implement confiscation because he knows the deal. That being said, I don't know how much longer he'll be president, and I honestly could really see Kamala, just because she wants the cool points of being the president, to do it, implementing confiscation, or at least like talking about it heavily. Like openly being like, yes, we're going to take your guns now. And like, that's not the option. You know, there's not going to be any option on the table. I could see her doing that because I guess she's, you know, I think she wants to appear like more radical and make a name for herself. I know she's not, she's just in the corporate pocket as all of them. She's not like a real leftist, of course. Not that that would matter anyway for taking the guns, but I don't think she actually even has like a crazy agenda like that. I think she just wants to appear like, you know, like cool or something to them and do the stuff they talk about. So I could easily see her doing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. This points to an interesting dichotomy that I've noticed is that, you know, the enforcement arm of the state is heavily supported by the conservatives. And then the administrative side of the state is heavily supported by the liberals. And they hate the opposing sides of the state, right? Or at least they say they do. But they both continue to support one half, and the state just gets more and more and more power, and the two sides just hate each other more and more and more. It's just amazingly ironic to watch, and that nobody seems to understand that that's happening. I mean, some people think that conservatives really are getting red-pilled on the cops, and I think we saw a couple weeks ago that, or a week ago or whatever, that's really not true. And I was calling BS on that like a month ago, because people were like, oh yeah, the conservatives saw what happened on January 6th and they saw that the cops were enforcing these lockdowns. I was like, oh, just wait. They're just going to have to shoot somebody or start brutalizing Antifa again. And then the right is just going to love them all over again. And I mean, they came out in force last week defending the cops at all costs, and you know, saying they just need more funding and they just need more tools at their disposal. And I mean, to me the right isn't really any more savable than the left. I mean, it might be more fertile ground for us right now just because they're losing, but I really look at that as pretty much the only reason that they're more open to ideas of liberty. If they were winning, I don't think they would be. And you know, I just don't think that they're like any less statist or any less propagandized. It's just a different, half of the state that they love, if that makes sense. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think one thing that makes conservatives conservatives is they have it place a lot of value on order and on security and like laws and stuff like that. So I think they just that's what it is with the cops, because they have that fear that there would be chaos and, you know, you have to have this stuff. I don't know that they love the fact that it's a monopoly or all that stuff. I think they just can't envision, and this could be a really charitable interpretation, but I just think they have never envisioned a society where we could have a system of arbitration or enforcement that is private and that would react better to market forces, all those things we all know so much about. I think that's why they just love the cops so much, because the whole thing is about order. And I do think you could get to them if you could make a compelling enough argument on why private security would do a better job of doing that. Whereas with the left, I think they have more of like a busybody mentality. And, you know, in a lot of cases where when there's someone somewhere doing something they don't approve of, they like it bothers them because they're not, you know, on the right side of history and they're not like living up to this like progressive curve of history by following the right thing. So I can't see a situation where you could easily talk to them about like removing the state, because then I think all there's like way more questions about like, well, who stops someone from being like racist or something like that, you know, whereas, you know, and I just don't see that as being as viable a candidate. But red pilling the conservatives on the cops is the hardest hump. I mean, that's the hump to get over with them, is to stop liking the cops. I mean, you can get them to accept a whole lot of things, but that is their sacred, that's their sacred cow for sure. And I do think that after January 6th, and I guess I could be wrong as well, but I do think they were getting red pilled for sure. Like, I think a lot of the rhetoric I was seeing coming out of the dissident right, especially, was very anti-cop. And I was like, really? Shocked and also like very welcoming of it. I was like, let's keep this energy up. And then wouldn't you know it, all this shit kind of happens in succession really quick, all this stuff. And it's just like, that's interesting. I'm not saying anything, but it's weird that a bunch of situations like that happen. I don't know. Makes you think. At least makes me think.
Yeah. So I'm going to push back a little on the conservatives.
Sure.
Just because I think there's this consensus that they're becoming more moderate on like social issues. But I mean, Republican governors are going hardcore on drugs this year, which is really weird in several states, you know, and it's not what I expected to see, because that was something that I was granting them, that I thought they were getting better on, but they're apparently not. Another thing that beyond just the cops, where they don't seem to be able to look outside the box and see a privatized alternative to, is schools, which I don't understand. Like, the conservative issue with opening up has been all about schools. Like, open our schools, let our kids go back to school.
It's so bad.
I mean, I'm like, you guys wonder why all your kids are getting brainwashed and why they're going to college and getting tens of thousands of dollars in debt and having no choice but to join the military. And I mean, you're wondering like why all this shit is happening. That's why it's happening right there. And
yeah, for sure.
They don't seem to be able to connect the dots. So
not at all. I saw this post on Twitter the other day. The, there was those like kids in that drag club. Did you see that? Someone filmed it. It was like a Snapchat video or some shit. And they were like, oh my God, y'all, there's like little ass kids like in this drag club. And they're like filming it. And it was just like two like young boys like on stage at some drag show at like 11 o'clock at night or something. And it was like just like some shit that makes me want a Fed post when I see it. It's like, what the fuck is happening here? All this stuff. So I'm like, this is crazy. So I scroll down, the fucking top comment is a conservative person, like with the flag emoji in their bio or in their name and all this shit. And their comment is just open the schools with all exclamation points. And I'm like, this is the eternal conservative, is like, oh man, our kids are getting brainwashed into some like liberal sissy hypno bullshit. Like, and then they're just like, yeah, we need to get them back in the public school system. That'll straighten them out. It's just like, dude, holy shit. Like, how are you so blind to that? Like, you're literally like, please educate my child. Like, please take their mind for you know 13 years. It's like so crazy to me. That is a huge one for sure. Also, I agree. You make a good point about, yeah, with drugs, like they're terrible on that stuff. Not every single one, but yeah, a lot of them. So I guess that does refute what I was saying about the busybody thing, because they do care what other people do in that regard. So that's a very good point. I'll give you that. But I just get way more busybody vibe from like the SJW crowd. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally get what you mean. I just think that they're both sides are equally delusional in that they hate the system, but they support it at the same time. Like they just can't connect the dots. I mean, like progressives want all these laws, they want these lockdowns, they want, you know, all this taxation, but they hate the cops. They want to abolish the police. And it's just like, how are you going to have mask law enforcements without the cops? Like, what do you, and then like, I just, like we were just talking with the schools, like the conservatives hate what the schools are doing, but they just can't wait to get them reopened and get their kids back in them.
So, they'll send their kids to like George Floyd High School and then brag that they're an honor student there. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just so mind boggled. I don't get it. Like, I literally don't look at either side as like closer to being on target. It just seems like now it's easier to talk to conservatives because they're so bewildered that they lost everything and that they're losing everything around them and they don't know what's going on. And I mean, it does seem like, right. Like I've got some conservative friends that I've been like, look, you know, the schools are teaching your kids all this stuff that you hate. The cops are enforcing all these laws that you hate. You know, the military industrial complex is enabled by the monetary policy we have. And then you can kind of bring them down the rabbit hole. And some of them, you know, they start to see it, but it's only because they feel threatened right now. Like even when Trump was president, even though they weren't really winning anything, it was impossible to talk to them. You couldn't talk to them about anything because their guy was in charge and he was fixing everything. And you'd be like, yeah, but look at, you know, I mean, you could point to any problem in their life and they just kind of blow you off. So now they're a little bit more susceptible, but I really only think it's because they're not on top. I don't know. I could be wrong.
What you're saying totally makes sense. One way I think you can get to them, and I mean, it might be like beyond like what a normal like approach might be, would be I think when the state is abolished, whenever that will be. I mean, I don't think it'll be in my lifetime at all, but you know, I think having no state would incentivize and reward a lot of low time preference behavior, which a lot of conservatives seem to either personally have or prefer when it comes to their cultural views and all this stuff. They don't really seem to support a lot of like high time preference decision-making in their, like in the policy prescriptions they like, or just in their personal life. And I think a lot of left-wingers do, because the state pretty much operates out of like a high time preference scenario and in like taxing production and rewarding, you know, it punishes saving and all this other stuff. Yeah. And I think left-wingers would be more, like more disenfranchised in that system, because without the social safety nets and all this other stuff, they would be forced to, you know, save for winter and that kind of stuff. And I just think that stuff benefits conservatives more. So I think you could make an argument in rolling back a lot of the state to them for that regard, because they have a lot less of that fear of, you know, what about the downtrodden or what about the people at the bottom type initial thought. I mean, I think those people would be taken care of better. Like even the people at the bottom, I think it wouldn't have that many at the bottom in that kind of a society, because I think the state creates a lot of those people in the first place. But I do think you could make that appeal to them a lot easier than the kind of people on the left. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if it's equally as hard as what I'm saying to get them to swallow the anarchy pill. Cause I think the left is going to have a lot more questions about, well, what about this? What about this? Where the right might be concerned, like what about the cops? And I mean, a few other things for sure. Not trying to get them off the hook, but I think the left will have a lot more things where you're just going to be like, yeah, man, we're just not going to like, I guess we just won't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that, conservatives are hooked on the system just as much, or maybe I shouldn't say just as much, but they are hooked on the system financially too. I mean, like the low interest rates and being able to buy a $90,000 pickup truck when you make 60 grand a year, like all that type of stuff is, especially with the pickup trucks and the snowmobiles and the boats and things like that, the conservatives have bought into that hard. You know, they love it. And that's going away without the government, because you can't, you know, you can't live off of those unsustainable interest rates, getting loans that you shouldn't have been approved for to buy stuff that you can't afford. They're not going to see that go away. So that's going to scare them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're terrible on monetary policy. They need to, look into Bitcoin, I guess, before it's too late for them.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
We're not rolling back. I mean, you can't fix, there's no policy proposal. I mean, you can't fix the dollar. It's like over. It's just like, you have to just accept it's going to end. There's nothing you could do to stop it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I do think might be a bigger divide than right and left is like blue collar versus white collar. And I wanted to talk to you about this a little bit too, just because of your sense of humor. Your sense of humor really appeals to me. I love it. I mean, I haven't known about you that long, just like a few weeks or something. And I just saw some of your tweets. It is the funniest fucking shit I've seen in my life. And,
thanks, man.
Yeah, no, I really mean it. It was hilarious. And I've noticed that it's almost that the people who understand the problems with the system also understand your type of humor. You know, it doesn't go over their head, or the trolling, like people who understand how screwed up a system is, they understand when somebody's trolling or when someone's being sarcastic, where more of these, I guess, blue pilled people, it just goes right over their head. They can't really catch it. It's because they're so like tuned into the mainstream narrative. They don't even know the deviation.
It's almost part of the definition of the blue pill, right? You just accept what's presented as fact.
Right.
Like you just see what's given to you and you take it at face value. So if you're trolling, they just look at it and they're doing the same thing. They're not digging any deeper or looking like if there's something behind the curtain. They're just also going, hey, this guy's saying this. Can't believe he thinks this. Instead of being like, hey, maybe he's kidding. Which is basically what they should do with the news, except for they're not, like, kidding isn't the right word. When they're getting told something, they should think the same thing. Like, maybe this guy on TV is not saying this, you know, maybe he's lying is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, I've worked blue collar my whole life. There would be people who had been on the job for 30 years, but they still didn't get it. You know, they still didn't understand how the job really worked. Like, they knew how to survive because they've been around for so long. But sometimes you'd have a kid who'd been there for 2 weeks who already understood it better than they did, just because that was how their mind worked. And it would usually go hand in hand with humor. Like, usually they would understand the crass jokes or the extreme sarcasm when this guy who's been around for 30 years, even though he's been immersed in that culture, he still doesn't get it. It seems to be like a built-in thing. It's not even really something you learn necessarily. It's something that you either have or you don't have, almost
like an NPC. Some people are thinking and some people don't have minds. I mean, I think that's just true. And I don't know, I think it goes across all kinds of people, but there are just certain people who are just there to be NPCs to interact with, but they don't exist in the same way we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, it seems to me like it, more of those people tend to end up in like a blue collar field. You know, there are definitely white collar workers who are very aware of what's going on and, you know, who understand nuance and all that type of stuff. But just from my experience, a lot of the people who are out there actually doing the work that keeps the country moving, they tend to understand what's fucked up more than these other people. And I don't know, you know, if it is that people are just born with this, you know, they either have it or they don't. I don't know if the tendency is to just want to work in that type of field or something. But
what if the people that are blue collared understand it just as much as the people that are in the white collar group, but the people in the white collar group are benefiting from it, so they aren't looking at it as something that is fucked up and a problem. They're like, hey, this system's kind of fucked up, but I'm glad I'm on this side of it. So they don't really make a big thing about it. I think it could be that.
Yeah, that's totally a possibility. I mean, yeah, definitely.
Because it's like, is the person that's it's like, is Rachel Maddow blue-pilled or is she red-pilled?
Right.
Does she know what she's doing and this is like intentional, or is she just so out of like out of touch that she's just completely innocently a part of the like a part of the problem? I'm trying not to say that phrase because Dave Smith. Yeah, but, right. You know, or is she actually like completely aware of what she's doing? You know, I actually am not entirely sure. But the answer to that question, but that could be the blue collar, white collar divide thing there, where a lot of the people that seem super blue pilled just have that appearance because they sleep better at night knowing they're, you know, maybe and not every person that works like an office job. I just mean some people at the top, certainly the system we have now helps them. And the people at the bottom, it's way more obvious to them that they're getting screwed for sure. And that's why they make a big fuss about it. But the people at the top are like, yeah, we are screwing those people, but I'm going to shut my fucking mouth.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought about Rachel Maddow, because I think that you're right that a lot of those people are just pretending that they're as brainwashed as they are. But at the same time, I think they have been in that zone so long that they're starting to say things on air that are so blatantly authoritarian and disgusting, and they don't even realize it. Like that that woman, I forget what her name is, but the woman who was on with Cuomo a few weeks ago, who was talking about how we need to demand vaccinations for states to reopen, or the carrot of getting their freedoms back isn't going. You know, like the fact, I mean, if you listen to that, that's just so blatantly terrible. But they're straight out, they're just straight up saying it right now without even realizing how bad it is.
Yeah, it's like they don't. That's the thing. I don't know if it's I don't know. Like with her specifically, I mean, we saw that clip. I don't know if she's like aware of how evil she sounds, or if she's truly just so plugged into the matrix that she's like, what? Like if you play it back to her, she's like, yeah, what do you mean? It's just, this is what I do. You know, like she doesn't get it. Or if she's like nefarious behind the scenes, like, you know, twiddling her fingers, like I know what I'm doing right now type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I sometimes wonder what the ratio is there with the people who are like in charge, like how many of them are actually stupid and how many of them actually realize how much they're screwing everything up. I think there's a mix. Like, I don't think it's just smart people and I don't think it's just dumb people. I think some definitely understand that all these policies are going to cause the repercussions that they cause, but some people are in there who actually think that they're trying to do something good or trying to fix something, and they're not. I mean, I don't think it's 100% one way or the other, I guess.
I don't think so either. I think you're right. I think the people who are evil are worse at hiding it. I think, for example, in Nancy Pelosi, I mean, I think everything about her is just so, that's a really good example because it's so transparently that she's phony and full of shit. I mean, you saw the George Floyd clip of her saying like, thank you for your sacrifice, or just stupid shit like that the other day, or just like kneeling at the thing, or I think it's so transparent that she's totally, totally full of shit. She doesn't believe anything. I don't think she has any strong convictions. I don't think she cares. She just wants what's best for her. I think that's obvious. But there are other times where I really think like, man, this guy is just like an idiot. He doesn't get it. He's a tool. I mean, it's just as bad in a sense, but you're just like a useful tool for the machine. So kind of like shame on you in a sense. Although everyone's, before you get kind of woken up, I don't know. It's like, how much responsibility do they bear, I guess, right? That's a really interesting question, is like, how much responsibility do they bear for their actions if they truly just have never thought about things from that perspective? Or do they know the truth and they're just like, I don't give a shit?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's a really hard question to answer, I think.
Yeah, I also think this kind of about the public. You know, I don't think that you know, some people have massive conspiracies about what they have to do to control us. And I don't think that they really have to do that much to control us. I think we are really dumb and we're just really willing to do anything. You know, I mean, I think we kind of proved that this last year. For the most part, people weren't arrested opposing lockdowns. Like, most people voluntarily said, okay, I'll quit my job, or I'll take unemployment, and I'll just hunker down in my house. I'll socially, you know, all these things. They didn't have to enforce it for the most part. For the most part, people just did it. So I think that, you know, when crazy dumb stuff happens in this country, I don't need to be sold a line of stories about how it's possible. To me, it's just like, yeah, I mean, have you looked around? Have you talked to people? Have you watched the news? We're just so dumb. We're so docile, and we're so stupid, and we just follow the leader.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and everyone's like kind of guilty of it in one way or another. So like the difference is like you even might even do the same action as someone who's a blue-pilled statist because you don't want to put your own life in danger, and you know it's just easier to go along with the system. And then they might do it because they think that they – not that they have to. That's not the way they would think about it. They would think like this is the right thing to do or something, and you, but you both do it. And it's like a really interesting thing. It's just like a psychological difference that makes it, you know, like, I don't know, maybe paying your taxes isn't the best idea, but, you know, like a libertarian might pay their taxes because they have a family and they're not trying to spend, they're not trying to go to jail. I mean, we ran that experiment multiple times that you can't really escape it forever. And you'll just pay them because you want to avoid jail, and you know it's fucked up, and you could rant forever about how it's bad, and you just don't want to have the IRS show up with guns. But then someone else might pay their taxes because they're like, yeah, you know, gotta pave the roads, you know, and they're just like all happy and they write the check with a big smile. But you both did it. It's just like a psychological difference of like knowing what you're doing is fucked up and thinking it's fine. So I guess as far as the lockdown and the mask stuff, tons of people were like, this is fucked up. I can't believe they're doing this. But I mean, you don't really have a choice because you're not going to be like the guy to, you know, when you have something to lose everything. But the people that were like, yeah, this is fine, the government totally has a right to do this, it happened either way. So I don't really know what the utility is other than waiting until, right? It's just like a waiting game, is waking enough people up and just staying awake, I guess, until the public kind of has like the mass consensus that, you know, if enough people didn't pay their taxes, they couldn't do anything about it type mentality, right? Like if everyone just stopped paying it, they couldn't do anything. But everyone's not going to stop that. So I guess you just keep your head down and keep on going until, you know, you recruit more and more and get more people to think like this is, you know, this is bad until we have the strength in numbers, right? And then I guess I don't know what happens then, but maybe if enough people resist, some change can happen.
Yeah. So how do we wake people up and get them to join a movement without just becoming sheep again? Because a lot of libertarians are sheep, you know, like, and not even necessarily because they're buying into stuff from the right or left, but because they buy into libertarian shit without thinking about it. And then when something weird happens, they don't know how to process it. So a great example is the Chauvin trial. You know, I had a kind of nuanced take on it, and I know you did too, and a couple other people did, but we were kind of looked at as black sheep in the liberty movement for just not like full on praising the decision that happened and just like leaping for joy that justice had been systemically returned or whatever. You know, it definitely exists within the liberty movement too. Like group thought is not restricted to the Republicans and the Democrats. It goes everywhere. So how do we wake people up and get them to, you know, get them to care about what's going on without turning them into drones again? And this kind of goes back to what we were talking earlier about how, you know, they peg their values to people. Sometimes they do it to multiple people. Like they're just waiting. Okay, what's Dave Smith going to say? What's Michael Malice going to say? What's Ron Paul going to say? What's whoever going to say? And then
Joe Jorgensen, let her speak. What's she going to say?
Yeah, exactly. Like any of them. Like they just want to be in the club still. They're not really necessarily thinking for themselves. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the same phenomenon. It's like the NPC versus the original thinkers. Like, think about it as far as Twitter goes. There are people who make content, and then there are people who just hit retweet. You can go to some of these people's accounts, and it's just nothing but retweets from other accounts. Like, they're not contributing anything. And I'm not saying that's like a bad or good thing. I'm just saying a lot of people don't aren't thinkers themselves, no creative thought. They just consume other people's stuff that they put out, and they're just content consumers and there's content creators. And I think it's like an, you know, it's like, it's a different, it's a different kind of dynamic. So I guess that's why they go to certain people. So I guess we just need to have more people putting out ideas that challenge the mainstream narrative and having them be attractive to the average person, making them palatable, you know, packaging radical ideas in really easy to digest ways, and just keep trying to do that. And this is to regular people and libertarians, because yeah, like you're saying, I mean, I go after libertarians all the time because they're so bad. So many of them are so bad on so many things. And I think one of the ways to wake them up is I try to do it through humor, because I think a lot of our world is absurd. And I think you can make people laugh by pointing out something absurd, or if framing stuff in a certain way. You know, you can kind of draw attention to the contradictory nature of something, or how completely silly something is, and then make people go, yeah, that is kind of stupid. And that, you know, can make people, that can win people over to your side at least.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go. Cause, as much as we hate to admit it, some people are just sheep. Like, even if you wake them up, they'll always be sheep. Like, they're not leaders. They're not thinkers. They're followers. So you can, you know, you can get them to follow you, but you might never actually get them to be prophets themselves, you know, like out there, you know, just shouting the good word out in the wilderness or whatever. You might never get there. So I think you're right that it's all about, like, if you are someone who thinks for yourself and understands all these things, use whatever your gift is to preach the good word and get it out there and try to change minds.
Yeah, I don't even know that it is a bad thing that they're like that, because as long as the with the sheep situation, I mean, I don't think then they have to even be super independent thinkers, as long as we have more people putting out the kind of thoughts we want to do and they follow those. We just need more, like, people to rise above the rest of the fucking noise that's out there and just start putting out good libertarian messaging. And I use that word, obviously, small L, of course, you know what I mean, every time I say it. But just messaging for private property. Let's just say that. Like, people are putting out good, you know, like, promoting private property, peace, prosperity, like that kind of messaging to people. I think it doesn't matter that they have an original thought. I mean, even if they follow it just from a sheep perspective, it's like, well, whatever, good. Just don't, you know, follow, you know, a socialist or a fascist or something like that, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so for the last few minutes we got here, I wanted to, we've touched on it a couple times, but I really want to talk about the cops, because that's what you and I have talked the most about, and your tweets about the cops are what first caught my attention. So I was wondering, like, do you have empirical influence that made you feel that way on the cops, or has it just been from watching videos and thinking about it logically? Did you have instances in your life where you went from, oh, these guys are okay, to, okay, fuck these people? How did that was there a transformation there? Did you used to like the cops, or?
No, I've always hated the cops, even way before I was political, just because of run-ins and encounters I've had. I mean, I grew up like a punk rock, you know, hardcore kid or whatever. Yeah. So I've had tons of shitty run-ins with the cops. You know, and also like growing up skateboarding and stuff, you just, you know, you have a natural aversion to the cops, not for any philosophical reasons, just totally, you know, utilitarian, like, this is going to fuck up my day situations, which is fine. And they are, by the way. But so, yeah, I'd never been a fan, had many fucking shitty run-ins with them. Not going to go into detail, but just always been treated like a fucking asshole by them. And didn't have, you know, the best view. But even when I was a statist, I was still like, well, I mean, what are we going to have? No police? Then someone could just kill you in your house. They could shoot you through the window in the middle of the night. And then the cops just do that anyway. And you're like, well, like, you know, that's not a great argument. So no, but yeah, totally philosophical reasons against the cops. You know, that's what brought me into anarchism, is like a you know, is like the philosophy, the logical contradiction of, you know, the police being like a separate class with powers you don't have, and all this other, you know, all these arguments we've heard 1,000 times. Those are the kind of stuff that red-pilled me on the cops as like an institution. But I mean, I've definitely had like bad personal experiences But I don't think that was like the strongest empirical evidence for why I don't like the cops. I think it was just like the complete, like, they enforce all these unjust things and blah, 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 blah down the line. And I think that's why, so to get, not to get off track at all, but when the left says ACAB, a lot of them is because they don't like the personal experience they have with the cops. And I'm not invalidating those, but they don't think a lot of those people have a problem with the philosophical thing about having people enforce certain laws. I think they just don't like the laws they are enforcing. So, you know, it's like stupid people that I see on Twitter with like ACAB in their bio or something. But if the cops were coming to like repossess like some millionaire's yacht or something like that, I don't think they would care. They'd be like, yeah, fuck you. And it's like, yeah. I don't view it that way. I have like a philosophical aversion to like the police as an institution of the state that operate on the aggression of private property, where they just say they hate the cops because in many cases they think they're enforcing capitalism or something like that. So, and a lot of them just hate the cops because they, you know, fuck with them for, you know, drugs around the city, which is totally valid and they shouldn't. And I hate the drug war, but I think if it was like some shit that didn't affect them, I don't think they really care that much. You know, if it was like enforcing this law, like you go to jail if you don't say like a pronoun or something, they'd be like, yeah, that's fine. So I think they don't have like a philosophical justification for hitting the cops. They just don't like that the cops right now aren't enforcing their laws. But if they got to write the laws, I don't think they'd have a problem with the cops. Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah, totally. And I think you're right about that. That's the contradiction that we were talking about earlier. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, with me, I actually used to love the cops when I was a kid. Like, I thought, oh, they're heroes, you know, they're first responder, you know, saviors who are there to keep law and order. And then when I became a teenager, I was never, like, brutalized by the police, but I just had all these really dumb run-ins with them where they were just being jerks for no reason. I never got arrested or anything, but they just kind of push us around and kick us around and make us stop doing stuff that was fun, that wasn't hurting anybody. And then I became a truck driver, and then that gave me a whole bunch of reasons to hate them. I mean, they just, sometimes they wouldn't even fine you. They just do stuff to fuck with you. They just do stuff to,
like, not having the wrench in the toolbox.
Yeah, exactly. I sent you that video.
great video, by the way, for everyone to go watch that.
Yeah, it's yeah. What he's talking about is I got stuck in a way station for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours because I was, by the letter of the law, if you wanted to be a complete narc, I wasn't quite complying because I had I was hauling 2 units when I was overweight, and the second unit was a wrench that was in a toolbox. What that's supposed to mean is if you have like a loader and you have a bucket and forks, like you can't do that. You have to have one or the other, has to be in working order. But it was a fucking wrench to start that you need to start the machine, and they were counting it as a separate unit. So they held me there for hours. And I think I had to buy a second permit, but they could have fined me for thousands of dollars or whatever, which they didn't do that at least. But that kind of just proves the point. Like, they didn't even make any money off of it. It was just to fucking be dicks and just push me around and screw my day up and, you know, put our company behind. And
yeah, they didn't make it to college football, bro. They have to fucking get in there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I know people who are friends who were that way. You know, they either didn't make it into the military or they were bullied in school, so they try to become cops. You know, and they don't weed people like that out. It's almost like they look for those people. And you know, this is connected to our foreign policy too. You have a lot of guys who come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and they get out of the military, and then they become police officers. They've been trained to kill people, not to de-escalate situations. They go through this super shitty training process that's mostly focused on weapons training. And, you know, we wonder why, you know, I don't know, 1,000 people are killed by the police every year or whatever. You know, it's not really a mystery.
It's so fucked. It's a terrible, terrible system. And just like as the lamest angle on this, the economic incentives and stuff just perpetuated as well. I mean, that's like the nerdiest fucking thing to care about in that situation, but you know, just the fact that there's no competition, so there's no incentive to be better. It's like you either have the cops or you don't. So like, oh, I didn't do a great job, okay, well, too bad, this is the cops. Like, what are you going to do about it? You know, that kind of shit really does have an impact on the enforcement and their behavior. Like, it really does. That's completely against how the market operates, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've had you for an hour. It was a blast. I'm definitely going to have you back on. I honestly think you're like a genius. I've listened to you talk on other shows. Super smart, super well-informed, super well-read. And I love that you convey it through humor online. I mean, that's just so great, you know, when people do that. I'm a huge fan of what you do. I think it's great. I've got a link to your Twitter in the description, so everyone go follow this guy. If you don't, it's totally worth it. He's probably going to get banned again, and then we'll just have to find his next account. But Bert, thanks for coming on. And I'm serious. We'll do this again soon. But I'll just give you any last final thoughts you got and anything you want to plug if you desire to do so.
Oh, awesome. Dude, thanks so much for having me, first of all. Really appreciate it. Great talking to you. We'll have to do it again sometime. You could, you know, follow me on Twitter, like you said. You can check out my shirts at gayobamapizza.com, which I just like saying. And then you can follow, you should follow at TLEPaz, P-A-Z on Twitter, because he's a great guy. I just want to throw that in there for everyone to go follow Paz if they don't.
All right, perfect. Yeah, everyone who's watching, if you came over here from Bert tweeting this out, please subscribe to the channel. I got some good interviews coming up. I'm going to be going on Josh Smith's Break the Cycle on Sunday, and then I'm having him on this show on Monday. Then I'll be going on Liberty Lockdown on Tuesday, and then having Tom Woods on here on Thursday. So lots of exciting stuff coming up, and you can follow me on Twitter at Reed Coverdale. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, Bert.